Wait, so am I introing? Ow. Am I introing it or?
Yes, because I did it last time.
Okay.
Oh, come on, don't be ugly.
Good. Wait, no, it's afternoon. I was about to say good morning. Hey, everybody, how's it going? My name is Justin.
And I'm Cameron.
And we are the Recycle Bays. Now, before we get started, we do have a few little shout outs. We launched our Facebook page last week, actually. And as of right now, have you looked? See how many?
I haven't looked today, but I've been getting a lot of notifications that a lot of people have been following.
Take a guess.
I would say, the last I looked, we were at 94, so I would say we're probably like 120.
No, that was a little adventurous. We're at 103 right now on Facebook. So I didn't think we was going to get 100 that quick, but we got 100 in a week. So, yeah. And then our Instagram is growing too. So thanks to everybody that's been supporting. You know, we've gotten a lot of nice DMs, a lot of good comments about the content and everything. And we want to make sure we keep giving you guys that great content. So again, if you want to, you know what I mean, if you want to support a little bit, you want to help out, you know, there's a link where you are able to donate, you know what I mean? If you want to be you want to be like a monthly contributor to us, there's a link where you can support us. But again, we appreciate all the support. We've gotten a lot of, like, good feedback off the first two. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we hope to give you more. But you got any shout-outs you want to throw out or anything?
Well, I spoke a little bit about it on the last episode, but I will say it again. Shout out to my girl Tia for dropping her first book. Now she's a published author. Hey. You can find her book, Hello Beautiful by Tia Danielle, on Amazon.com. I purchased mine and I've started reading it. I haven't finished it yet, but so far so good. I really love it. So congrats, girl, on all the sales and all the success so far.
Hey.
You know,
All right, don't get greedy. Like, you.
Okay, you've been talking for like.
You told me the intro. That's what. All right, go ahead. You told me the intro.
You said some shout outs, so I'm trying to. All right,
I'll be quiet. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm done.
Wow. All right, well, I do have one before we start. I want to shout out the Drip News. We subscribed to their newsletter, mm-hmm. and the last newsletter was really good.
They're all good.
Yeah, they're all great, but the last one was really good. You know, learned some information about, about Instagram and stuff, like how they're gonna, like when you do like a paid promotion, mm-hmm. like somebody can pay to promote your like profile too,
yeah.
as opposed to the post.
Like basically, all the updates that are coming in influencer marketing.
Yeah, so if you want to follow them on Instagram, they are the Drip News. If you want to check them out on Instagram, and you can subscribe to their newsletter, their link is in their bio. But I think that's all the shout outs we got. So you want to introduce the first topic? Because you got all the cameras running this one this week.
Yeah, I'm driving the boat.
Why do you sound like that?
Isn't that like what a captain sounds like?
You just sound dehydrated.
I have my water.
You sound like you need some water. Like,
excuse me.
Like you big thirsty. Yeah.
Don't be doing me like
hey,
that.
Hey, how's it going?
Don't be doing me like that in front of these people.
No, you
showing off.
No, you sound like you sound like the grandma from SpongeBob. Chocolate.
You joking?
You said you was.
You doing this?
Go ahead, come on. You gotta introduce the first topic. Go ahead.
He was asking
for smoking.
Chocolate. Hey, look.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. For our non-DMV listeners, joning is a synonym for roasting.
Yeah. But that would have to be a whole nother.
That would
be a whole episode in itself to explain that.
So, first topic, I believe Netflix, I don't know if it dropped maybe a week ago now.
I think it was last week, yeah.
Yeah, like last Friday or whatever. Always Be My Maybe is Netflix's newest and cutest rom-com. I watched it over last weekend, and you watched it
today.
Yeah. Oh, so you're like super fresh.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was adorable. I think it's great to see the increase in diversity in Asian films, because I've noticed there's been a lot of Asian films coming out recently.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it all. I mean, what did you think of Always Be My Maybe?
I thought it was great. Like, I definitely thought it was a great story. There was a few moments where I didn't think they was going to end up together. Like,
don't spoil it.
No, I'm not saying anything. I was just saying, like, there were certain moments. Because, you know, like, certain movies, like, they, you kind of know where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. But this one, it was kind of like, I don't know if they're going to make it.
Yeah.
And then things happen. You just have to see it on Netflix. But, no, I definitely liked it. Definitely gave a different dynamic. And it was good. I would definitely watch it again. Like, it was good. That one cameo was weird, though.
Keanu?
Yeah, I was like, what does that got to do with it?
I mean, I don't know.
It was funny, though. He was funny, though.
He was kind of a jerk.
Yeah, but you know, he was John Wick. But, all right, I feel like we're going to give spoilers if we go in detail. But
No, but I specifically, we were talking about this the other night. I love all of the lighthearted films, all the lighthearted rom-coms and everything. I just wish that Black people had more movies like that.
Yeah, because I was actually listening to a podcast yesterday where they were talking about the Netflix series When They See Us.
Mm-hmm.
And
I haven't watched it yet.
Honestly, I've been I almost watched it today, but I was a little hesitant to watch it because I was just like, I don't know if I'm ready to see it, but it's like, there's been a lot of stuff where it's been kind of like, I don't know if I want to see that again.
Yeah.
You know, cause like we were talking the other day about like, what happened. Because I'm working on like this upcoming project, and I was mentioning about how when Philando Castile and all that stuff, when that happened,
mm-hmm.
how it was hard. Like, I was sitting on the couch just thinking, like, I cried a little bit because I'm just like, man, I just saw something like this happen yesterday, and now I'm watching it again, almost like the same exact thing,
mm-hmm.
and it was just like, I feel like I'm gonna watch it because, you know, certain things that we gotta know about, but I gotta get the Kleenex ready though, because like I hear it's a lot of emotion in it and stuff. But
yeah.
I definitely agree. I definitely think that minorities should have more like diversity within films and stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, like. But also, I understand why, like, certain films are the way they are. Because I feel like certain films, it's like, there's a lot of stories that haven't been told.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, now we finally have, people have finally had the opportunity to tell those stories. So everybody's putting out the stories and stuff. And it kind of shows about, like, history. Like, history isn't really too friendly to, you know, those with pigment, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess it just kind of shows how messed up the history is.
Mm-hmm.
Then, but no, I'm definitely with the wave of more diversity within like rom-coms and action movies and stuff. Yeah, because I know there's that one movie on Netflix. I forgot what it was called, but it's like that time traveler. It's like these like the two teenagers, they're like doing time travel. It's like See You Yesterday or something.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, it's something like that. It's like See You Yesterday. It's a time travel movie, but like the two main characters are Black. So it was different. Like I haven't seen a movie yet, but I had never heard about that before.
Tonight.
Yeah. But I definitely feel like we could use a bit more diversity in, like, rom-coms and stuff, because I guess, would Hitch be considered rom-com?
Yeah, Hitch was a rom-com, but that was, like, 2004.
Yeah.
That was 15 years ago.
Yeah, the only thing that I could think of where it was, like, a black lead, and it didn't have to deal with, like, somebody slinging dope or anything was What Women Want with Taraji.
As far as, like, recent
films. Outside of that, I don't really know what.
Because there were plenty from the 90s.
Yeah. But, like, recent, I haven't. I can't really name that many if we're talking recent. But, yeah, I mean, I think we're both in agreement that we both would like to see more diversity within film. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's, like you love films regardless, but you just feel like certain films, like, it would be nice to hear from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe, you know, within such freedom now that everybody can record, everybody can do things, you know, maybe we might get more of that stuff in the future.
I hope so.
Yeah. Did you want to expound any more on that? Or?
No, I mean, I'm overall, like, I'm happy with the progress that we've been making as far as diversity. I'm just looking forward to more in the film industry.
Right. All right. Well, so if there's any, you know, movie makers or filmmakers that are listening, you know, myself included, like, let's start bridging the gap, I guess. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, we appreciate all the non-minority films, but we kind of want some for ourselves too, to represent, like, everyone, and not like a biased view either, like, just right. a general. Because, you know, we've never had like a black high school experience that wasn't like somebody got shot in the hallway mm-hmm. or anything.
It wasn't a bunch of kids from the hood.
Because High School Musical, I was like, yo, high school ain't nothing like this. It's like, because I'm coming from middle school where my principal got jumped. So I'm like, yo, high school ain't nothing like that. But yeah, I think we need a bit more diversity within like future films and stuff. And it's working. I feel like it's on its way. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, Always Be My Maybe was good.
You're so cute.
Yeah. But no.
The feel-good film of the summer.
I don't know. Summer just started. It might be some more that might be popping out.
I mean, there'll probably be more, but last summer it was To All the Boys I've Loved Before. That was the mood all summer, 2018. So.
Yeah, but that one was kind of.
I liked that one too.
I liked it too, but it was just like. Yeah, that was cool too. I'll put Always Be My Maybe over that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Any other things to add?
No. We can move on.
Okay. So, this week's sustainable tip of the week, I have like a bit of a story, and then I'm going to give the tip. So, this week, I've been doing a lot of like yard work with my mom in the back, and like we had a lot of the trees cut down and stuff, and we noticed, because we had to dig a trench in the back to help like the water flow away from the house,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that I noticed is that, like, even though the trees were gone, a lot of the roots from those trees that are gone are still there,
mm-hmm.
and it was making it kind of hard to move forward with like digging and stuff, because the roots were still there,
mm-hmm.
and we had to like break the roots in order to clear the path and stuff. So I would say the sustainable tip for this week would be more, I guess you can use it in every facet of life, but I would say it's more so like a life tip. You know, I feel like a lot of times when we have bad habits or bad people around us, and we want to replace those things, or we get rid of those things, a lot of times we leave the roots of those things still there. That's why we still might be bitter about something, or we still might be angry about something. Because I know, like growing up, like it was always this thing that was told to me where it's like, if you say you're over something or you forgave somebody for something, but the second that somebody brings it up, you're still as angry as if it happened like yesterday, you're not fully over it yet. Mm-hmm. Or it's like clearly there's still like some roots there that you need to dig up. So I guess a sustainable tip of the week is dig up your roots. You know, like there might be some lingering problems that people might have that, you know, you think you're good, you think you dealt with them, but when you check the roots, there might still be some roots there. And, you know, maybe it's time to dig some roots, you know, like, you know, make sure you check to see if certain things that like used to bother you, certain people that used to get under your skin, if that, you know, that same animosity isn't still there. Stuff, because you know sometimes people can hold on to animosity for a long time and like cover it as like something else when it's like really you just don't want to let it go, because if you let it go then you don't have an excuse to be mad anymore, you don't have an excuse to walk around any type of way anymore, like you actually have to deal with whatever that issue is. So that would be my sustainable tip of the week. You know, just check the people you're around. Make sure that you're, you know, make sure you're rooted in the right things. And those things that aren't properly rooted, make sure you get rid of those things. So that's my tip with thoughts.
I mean, I think it's a good tip as far as, you know, getting to the bottom of your discomfort with people. Getting to the bottom of your discomfort with people, he said, I needed to speak up.
Yeah. You got to project. Yeah. Sorry. Good.
You know, just getting to the bottom of your feelings, making sure that you have closure in situations before you move on. Because from my experience, you know, it's really easy to say that, you know, like Justin just said, it's really easy to say that you've moved on or that you're over something, and then you have an experience or you're reminded of that situation and then you're put right back into that place. Mm-hmm. So I guess taking the self-care to get to the bottom of your issues is important.
Right.
For growth.
Okay. So good tip? Mm-hmm. All right, cool. All right, so we're going to take a quick little 2-minute break, and we'll be right back with the next topic from Cameron. Because mainly for me, because it's, you know, like, all right, we've been drinking water, and, you know,
Yeah, pee, y'all.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Hey guys, okay, so we're back from break and we're moving on to topic number 2. Today I was watching one of my favorite influencers, her Instagram story, and she was speaking on how many negative comments and just really rude and mean-spirited comments she receives on her Instagram, her YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it put in my mind, I'm like, well, how would you handle negative comments? And that could be on social media, that could be in your everyday life. Because, you know, everyone has those quote unquote friends that give backhanded compliments all the time. Mm-hmm. People who just don't have anything nice to say, and especially online, where people feel like they can just say whatever they want because there's a screen in between you and that other person.
Right.
So, I'll ask you, how do you deal with negative comments?
A lot of times, it just depends on who it is, you know, because I feel like the internet's ruled by kids, so it's like most of the people online are like little kids, like 13-year-olds, 7-year-olds, like that don't know much about. Well, I mean, I know they know more than we did at 7 because the internet. But it's like a lot of times I feel like you kind of have to go out of your way to be negative online. Mm-hmm. Because
in person.
Yeah, in person. But specifically like online, because that means that whatever you're thinking, you have to type out that long comment to specifically be mean. And you know, you got certain people, they follow certain people just to like say negative things to them. Like, and I just feel like, you know, like the negative comments that I get or that I've gotten in the past, you just kind of, it's like, all right, cool. Like, you know, I appreciate you typing that, but you know, it's like, if you're not of any importance to me, like in like real life, if you just randomly comment negatively on something when you have no experience in that thing, mm-hmm. you don't know how the process works or anything like that, you just randomly like, oh, I don't like that, or oh, you should do blah, blah. It's kind of like, all right, cool, appreciate it. And then still keep going, I think, as normal.
But how do you, okay, so for the people who are in person mm-hmm. giving you negative comments, I'm talking about those people too.
Right. In person, like, again, I kind of have the same metric. I feel like it depends on who it is. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like with certain people, like, I came from an art school, so it's like, you know, coming from art school, like, they critique you pretty harshly. Like, when I had my reviews and stuff, like, the first review I had, they were virtually like, yo, don't ever bring this stuff back in here anymore. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, you talking to me like I don't pay to go here, but I feel that. But, I mean, like I said, I just think it depends on who it is. Like, you know, I feel like, you know, for certain people, it's like, if you know the person and you know they mean well, I wouldn't necessarily look at it as like a negative comment. I would look at it as like, all right, you know, maybe they see something that I don't see. Mm-hmm. And then maybe it's something that I could change. But if it's someone just random who only comments negative things, then it's just kind of like, you know, you see how your comment may not seem as credible compared to other comments. Because if you only comment to, like, you know, like you said, like backhanded compliments or to be negative, mm-hmm. stuff like that, it's kind of like, all right, well, what you say might be true, but you don't have no credibility because you only comment when, like, something's wrong. You don't mm-hmm. you don't comment like, hey, good job, keep it up, I like how you did this.
Right.
If you're only saying negative things, then it's just kind of like, all right, well, you ain't never said nothing positive, so you don't really hold much weight around here. So, mm-hmm. so yeah, I mean, if anything, I was just, like, even with those people, I try to take the meat out of the situation. Like, I try to take, you know, what people say. It's like, all right, what gave them the reason to say that? And if in some way it was justifiable, you know, you hear it out. But, you know, it's like, if they're random or if they're somebody that doesn't, like, cater to you on a regular as far as like how you feel, how you care about things and stuff, mm-hmm. it's just like, all right, bro, well, all right, sis, thank you, I appreciate you, have a good day, you know what I mean? So, but how do you feel though? Like, what do you do?
Well, I went to private school, and I was raised in a house where my mother always said, if you have nothing nice to say, mm-hmm. don't say anything.
Yeah.
That goes for friends, that goes for family members, because we do have toxic family members as well that yeah. don't always know what to say.
Very true.
And that goes for strangers. I feel like 9 times out of 10, when people are being negative and they're going out of their way to be negative, they are miserable and they're looking for ways to bring you down too. Misery loves company.
Yeah.
And with that, I kind of go by a similar metric to Justin. As far as how seriously I take something based off of how, you know, how close I am to a person.
Yeah.
But even still, it doesn't matter if you're my best friend or if I just met you 5 minutes ago. If you're making a rude comment, I'm going to look at you the same way.
Yeah.
It's rude. What did you gain out of what value did that bring to the conversation? What value does your comment bring to that person?
Yeah, and because there was actually something that happened last night, actually, because we're recording this on Thursday, and yesterday was game 3 of the NBA Finals, and there's a situation that happened with a player for the Raptors, Kyle Lowry. He dove to try to save the ball from going out of bounds, and he like ran into one of the fans, and you know the fan that he ran into was fine, like, cause she was in like the second row, so like she like jerked back a little bit, but she was fine.
Okay.
And but there was this guy that was on the front row, like maybe like a seat over, he pushed him, so like he imagine like if somebody like you know like you've seen courtside seats before. Mm-hmm. Right? So, like, he fell on, like, the first row, and then there's a guy, like, the guy pushed him and then started, like, saying some, like, vulgar stuff towards him. And it was one of those, I guess, since we're talking about, like, negative comments, negative things, like, I think that's a pretty good visual of, like, when people are negative all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, it takes energy to be negative. Like, you have to go out of your way most of the time
mm-hmm.
to be negative. Because you can give someone like constructive criticism, and in a way where it's like, all right, like, yeah, it kind of sucks to hear that, so I feel like you're tearing me down, but you gave me the right tools to build it back up. So it's not like you're just saying like, oh, this sucks, oh, you're not good at this, oh, I'm better than you at this. It's like, hey, it was good, but this is how you can improve on it, or this is how you can make it stronger. And I feel like, you know, people that care for you and like friends and stuff,
mm-hmm.
they're gonna go the extra mile to do that stuff and everything. So I was just saying, like, I feel like that was a good comparison, because, you know, it's like when you see the clip, it's literally like if the guy like how fell, and the guy was like to the left of him or the right. So he had to like reach over to push him
mm-hmm.
and say some stuff.
Like
he had
to go out of his way.
Yeah, like he literally went out of his way. And it's like 9 times out of 10, those people that are negative online, they have to search to find something to be negative about. Or even in person, like, plus it takes a lot of energy to be negative or to be rude. Like,
yeah.
You know.
And see, in my opinion with that, and this will kind of branch off into, you know, like, how people, like, when you have an audience, or when you have a brand on social media, when you have an audience, a lot of people feel like they know you.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, like, you know who I present online.
Right.
You don't actually know me in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So people who feel comfortable to, you know, because they feel like they know you and they feel entitled to you.
Yeah.
Say things when they don't know you at all.
Right. Like they have no clue who you are.
Yeah. Like there was this time, this is when I was wearing wigs all the time. There was this girl, and I think, I don't know where I knew her from, probably from like college, or, you know, like we had crossed paths at some point, or we knew mutual people.
Mm-hmm.
But she never comments on any of my photos. She never likes any of my photos.
Right.
But it was this one particular wig I had on. It was a frontal. And she came out of her way to DM me, like, oh, your frontal doesn't look good, sis.
Hmm.
And, you know, because this is a family-friendly podcast, mm-hmm. I won't say what I think,
right.
But I'm just kind of like, I don't know you. Like, I've never spoken to you a day in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So what gives you the authority to act like you know me?
Right.
Because you don't.
Right. And that's the thing. People talk real big and bad online.
Yeah.
Like the widget warriors mm-hmm. of the world. Are,
and then want to play victim when they get cussed out and blocked.
Because, because we might have to move, so I'm gonna show you the video, and then we can come back, and then we can see like, your thoughts and stuff. All right, so another quick break. Be right back. Okay, so we're back. Go ahead and finish.
No, in my opinion, if you don't know me, like if you don't, like I understand, you know, if you want to give criticisms, kind of like what Justin was saying, where it's like, if you want to give a suggestion about something I should do in the future, like whether you know me in person or whether you know me online, but especially if you only know me online, like don't get too comfortable. Like, I've created a family, like, with my brand, but at the end of the day, a lot of these people don't know me in real life.
Yeah.
Like, there's a separation there, like, between Naturally Cam and Cameron, you know? Like, those are two different
entities. Right, and that's the thing that, because I'm going to show you the video while I make the point, but, and that was kind of the thing that they were talking about the whole thing that happened last night, was because a lot of times fans think that because since they pay for a ticket and that, like, you know, they're there to see people perform, that they can just kind of do whatever. Right. And because it came out shortly after that the guy that pushed him, because you see right here, it's that guy.
Yeah.
He's like a minority owner for the team. And I guess the Warriors have a lot of minority owners and stuff. But he was one of the minority owners of the team. And, you know, it was just one of those things where it's like, yo, you don't... And that's what everybody's been saying. It's like, yo, you don't know this man. Like, that's not your friend. That's not, like, a long-time rival of yours. Mm-hmm. You have no reason to touch this person. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. But a lot of times people get...
You have no reason to say anything to that person either.
People get this fake courage to be like, you know what? I'm going to say whatever I want to this person.
I'm going to be the meanest, nastiest person ever.
Yeah, because it's like even when the whole Aisha Curry thing happened, when she was on the Red Table Talk and she was saying this stuff, I'm like, for the people saying people are going to get mean regardless, so... Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that's kind of the culture you're in now. You're going to get memed, like, regardless. But the people that was going out of their way to be negative towards her and stuff, I'm like, that's doing too much. That means you got to find her online.
Yeah, I was, like, commenting on all her stuff. Yeah. Sending her DMs.
Yeah, it's like, bro, you can't be all big and bad with your thumbs. You know, you can't be Thumb Thor and then get mad when somebody... You know, somebody want to pull up or somebody.
Yeah, or somebody blocks you online, somebody cusses you out, or like you said, somebody finds where you live.
Yeah, but I feel like that's gonna be a problem regardless, because people don't really understand like common courtesy anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like
everybody's entitled.
Yeah, I feel like the older generation knows a bit more. Like, not older, but like us, like the. Because people call, like, anybody, they call everybody millennials, but it's like, technically, millennials stop at, like, 93 or 94 or something like that. Like, millennials technically stop in somewhere in the 90s. No, it's like 2000 and up. They're like,
Gen Z?
Yeah, Gen Y or Gen Z or something like that. Yeah, so it's like, I'm like, it's always the ones be like, oh, those darn millennials. And it's like, bro, most of us are like in our 20s and stuff now. So the younger ones, like, that's a whole different generation. But yeah, I mean, I brought that up to be like, to your point. And that was everybody's point about like when the guy pushed him. It's like, you don't know this man. Mm-hmm. You have no reason to touch this man. And had he... retaliated and swung on you, or
then you
did anything.
You would have really been in your feelings, and you would have been trying to sue. And it's like, you should have, you should have been minding your business in the first place.
Yeah, and that's
forgot where I was for a second.
and that's the whole thing. It's like, I feel like the internet gives people this fake courage, and people act like people don't react, where it's like, you're talking to a real person behind the screen. So if you say some wild, grimy stuff, you finally see that person in, like, face to face, you can't get mad if somebody swing on you. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I'm not...
You can't get mad if they don't want to talk to you. You can't... Yeah. None of that.
Because it's like, granted, I'm not encouraging violence or anything like that, but I am encouraging, like, we need to... Moving forward, we need to, like, push accountability as far as, like, what you say, where it's like... Because I understand everybody has the right to say whatever they want.
But then you, like, can't cry when you receive consequences for the things that you said.
Yeah. Like, you can have an opinion. Because that's totally true. Like, you can have an opinion about something. You can feel however you feel about something. But you got to know that if you're comfortable enough to say it, you got to take whatever backlash comes with that. Mm-hmm. You know? But... That's kind of like where we at with things, though. So,
yeah.
Sorry, it's random helicopter. Just sounds a bunch of random stuff that I hope the ice cream truck doesn't pull up again, because
he pulled up earlier.
I know, but he circles around, like, you know, he gotta do hood rat stuff, like, and I don't know what he does, but I only saw him sell ice cream once.
But I saw him sell ice cream the other day.
Yeah, that was the first time I saw him do
it. This is the Trappin' Ice Cream Truck in Justin's neighborhood. It always comes out after dark when there are no kids. Straight out of a horror film.
Yeah, maybe. Like, you know. What if it's like a studio and they just be making music as they go around?
I would hope not. That's incredibly ratchet.
Hey, you never know, but... But all right. So, is there anything else you wanted to add to the?
No.
Okay.
I'm good. I don't want to, you know, get too.
Yeah, cause I feel like that could be a whole.
Yeah.
Maybe social media could be like a topic we talk about, because there's like so many layers within social media, like as far as like do's and don'ts.
Well, we have a different social media topic. That's why I kind of wanted to keep this one general, like more so for people in person.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, like our third topic is always about like social media.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. All right, so a quick, would you rather have no one show... Okay, no. Let me say this. I'm not sure if we did this one. I did this one in person, but would you rather have no internet or no cell phone?
I'd rather have no cell phone.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have to rock with that, because I feel like you can't do anything without the internet now.
Yeah. Everything is internet-based.
Like, a few years ago, you could finesse not having the internet, still being all right, but now you have to have the internet for for, like, everything. Mm-hmm. So, man, that was just a quick one so we can get into, like, the next topic, because I feel like that's going to take a little bit. So, yeah. Okay, so go ahead.
So, our last topic of the day is the term influencer.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I don't like the word influencer. I don't like being referred to as one, because there's always a stigma associated with it, because people in general don't respect those who choose to make their money online.
Right.
And my question today is, why do you think that is?
I feel like a lot of times ignorance comes out when people don't understand. Mm-hmm. So, because it's like a lot of the people that get mad at influencers and stuff, they've never seen like what a day looks like for an influencer. So,
like, they just think all we do is go to events and get free stuff and do sponsored posts.
Yeah, and the thing, because the thing is, it's like, because I dropped a blog post today about how, since I've done like my rebrand of my page, I gained like virtually like 100 followers each month.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like I was just sitting around, people just kind of popped up. It was like a lot of work went into that, because I didn't even notice that it was like, excuse me, I didn't even know it was close to like 400 within those 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just kind of like, it was a lot of work that went into that. Like, it was a lot of, like, man hours of just, like, like building relationships with people, going to events, connecting with people, like writing those blog posts and things like that. Like, it's not, it might look easy, but a lot of things look easy when you've never done it or you've never been in those shoes before. So I feel like a lot of people disrespect it because they think that it's so easy, mm-hmm. that anybody can do it. But it's like everybody doesn't have influence like some people do.
Right.
Like some people reach way bigger audiences than anyone else can, you know, because they're like a perfect example. There's this YouTuber that I follow online. His name is Destroying. Mm-hmm. And he just got signed to CFL. It's like the Canadian Football League by the it's like a Toronto team.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he has more followers than the organization does. So it's like just by them signing him to the team, they gain like 30K just off of him signing on to the team. So it's like that aspect of influencing, it's like it can make or break a business.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people that don't do it don't understand the importance of it, because it's mm-hmm. like you're literally cultivating an audience to say, hey, I think you guys should try this out because right. of this and that, or hey, I would stay away from this product because of this and that. Where it's like, if you look at the perfect example, the Fire Festival thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, where it's like, literally people thought, oh, Kylie Jenner's talking about this. I gotta be there because that means she's gonna be there.
She's gonna be popping the bottles open.
Yeah.
She's gonna be twerking on the beach. You know, yeah. She's gonna be there.
I don't think nobody wants to see that.
I mean, they don't, but, you know, like, it goes to your point.
Yeah.
People think she's gonna be there.
Yeah. And I also think that, like, people don't understand how impressionable people are now because mm-hmm. of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the internet has made things way more condensed. Mm-hmm. So it's like if some, like, even if we go back to the Fire Festival thing, where there was people that bought tickets just solely because they thought that those people that were in the promo video stuff
mm-hmm.
were gonna be there, even though they didn't advertise. So-and-so's going to be here. So-and-so's going to be here. This person's performing. They just posted an ad.
Yeah.
So it's
it was
like
a paid campaign for them.
Yeah, but nowhere in the, like, advertising did they say they were going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
People just assumed, oh, you have an ad for this festival? That means you're going to be there. I'm going to buy a ticket because I want to see you there.
Mm-hmm.
Even though none of them said
I'm gonna be there.
You know, so it's like, if anything, I feel like it's different people saying that because they don't understand how it works. They don't understand how marketing has changed because of influencer marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, literally, like, when you were growing up, how long was a commercial usually?
About 30 seconds. Or if it was an infomercial, like a minute and a half.
And how long are your commercials now? Like, if you're on YouTube, how long is a commercial?
Like 10 seconds.
Exactly. So it's the thing of, like, because they know that people have short attention spans.
Mm-hmm.
They know that people want to see their favorite people. And they know, look, we got about 30 seconds until we lose this person. Or like 10 seconds until we lose this person. So, what do you think, though? I've been talking.
I also feel like people disrespect influencers so much out of jealousy.
Yeah.
Because, like, not everybody is cut out, not even just the influence part, but not everybody is cut out to be a business owner. There are some people that are made for that 9-to-5 life.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for any business in general and not just influencers, since we're talking about influencers.
Yeah.
You know, there, for those who choose to be full-time influencers,
mm-hmm.
they get the most flack because it's just like people assume that they don't do anything. But then it's like until you see like their vlogs and they actually open up, like, oh, like this is what a day looks like for me. Mm-hmm. I have to answer all these emails. I have to do all this shooting.
Right.
I have so much to I have to make my money. I have to bring the brands to me. It's mm-hmm. like people don't respect that because they don't under they because they're not doing it.
Yeah.
And really, I feel like a lot of time that goes for like the negative comments. That goes for, you know, a lot of things in general stem from jealousy.
Yeah. Yeah, because I definitely, like, I don't know. Well, I guess we would be considered, like, influencers and stuff, but mm-hmm. more, like, on, like, the micro side of things. And, like, honestly, I feel like since I'm, like, a male in fashion, more, like, sustainable fashion, and there's not many men in that, because mm-hmm. there's not really a lot of representation in, like, men's fashion in general.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, to be in men's fashion, but, like, sustainable fashion, too, there's definitely not a lot of people in that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I feel like there were times or two where, like, you know, I would feel like people wouldn't take me serious or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like at the end of the day, it's like, look, not even to sound rude or anything, but it's like, there, you wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing.
Right.
Like, if you actually really saw what goes into it, like the effort that goes into everything.
Mm-hmm.
The thought that goes into each pose, mm-hmm. that goes into each outfit, that goes into all this stuff, is way more than just taking one photo and typing it up or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like the way social media has like done things, it's like literally, like social media has become like people's TV now.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, I know for me, I don't watch TV, I watch YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like literally like, user-created content is mainly what I watch.
Yeah.
So, it's one of those things where it's like, if you're not doing something consistently on a regular basis, you fall by the wayside. And they're like, all right, well, you're not doing it, so I'm going to go watch somebody else that does it. You know, it's like, oh, you're taking a break? That's cool. I'm going to go watch the other person that does it. You know, you comfortable, you chilling, you on vacation, that's cool. You don't want to post today. You don't want to post for a week. All right, I'm going to go find somebody else that's mm-hmm. that's been posting every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, I feel like, to your point, I do feel like there is some jealousy involved, because I know what a lot of times people try to do. They'll see what somebody else does, try to mimic that exact thing, and get mad when that thing doesn't work for them.
Yeah.
When it's just like, everything's not meant for everybody. You know, like, I do feel like everybody has a market that they can reach, but I don't think that everybody should try to mimic what somebody else did.
Right.
It's like, take the experience and, like, see how you can apply it to your life, and then let it fuse with what you're already doing
mm-hmm.
to see if it works. But don't, like, take the blueprint and make that your blueprint.
Right.
And then get mad when it's like, oh, why didn't it work? Because that's not yours. Like, that's somebody else's blueprint, and everybody has their own blueprint that, like, is designed based off of, like, failures, attempts, and mm-hmm. all that stuff. Because people don't like to fail, and people don't like to try either. So
that could be one thing's handed to them.
That could be why a lot of people are mad too, because people don't like to try. Like, a lot of people have ideas of, like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that.
But they just want it to fall out of the sky. They don't mm-hmm. they don't want to work for it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like those same people that would try to like doubt the fact that what I'm doing is right, or I should be in another field or whatever, because that's where I started and all that stuff. It's like, all right, well, I've been getting random people hitting me up about like, hey, where'd you get this from? Hey, where'd you get that from?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, where can, you know, can you show me how to get this? Can you teach me how to get that? That's influence.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That was also some shade, but, you know.
It wasn't shade. It was the truth. Like, it wasn't shade. Because, like, I've had a few people say that. So, it's like, I mean, it's like, truth is, it's like, that was part of what my article was about today. It's like, you can't be afraid to experiment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like Instagram is already saturated. Like, certain fields are already saturated. So it's like, you got to find something that works for you that you can reach your audience with.
Right.
And it's like, when I made that one post in February and I saw, I had never gotten 150 plus organically without any type of like apps or forcing like hashtags or anything. I was like, yo, all right, let me try this one. That one hit 150 in like a day. I did another one. That one hit some high numbers. So I'm like, all right, maybe we got something with this. Mm-hmm. And then 4 months later, like, I'm almost at my goal of 3K. So I'm like 150 away. So, so I mean, I feel like people just be mad because things don't work out for them. Like you said, like the jealousy thing. People get mad because it don't work out for them, so they get mad at what you're doing.
And they want to tear you apart because it didn't work out for them.
Yeah, and to the point that, like, from the second conversation, like, constructive criticism is different from just, like, being mean for no reason.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you're being constructive within your criticism, like, you're, like, back when I was in, like younger in church, they would say, it was a reference of like how God would, like, you know, you would see the wound or like you, like, I was getting confused. So they were saying like the Bible is supposed to work. It's like, it's meant to cut your flesh, but heal your spirit. So it's like, it's meant to cut you, but at the same time, heal you at the same time. So it's like, I feel like that's what constructive criticism is. Not to make it like a religious thing or anything like that, but like, I feel like with constructive criticism, it's going to cut you because you're not going to want to hear that, like, oh, this thing that I worked on for hours or days or weeks isn't as good as I thought it was. Mm-hmm. But when you hear someone say, like, hey, it was good, but these are some things you can improve on so that it can last longer than what you think, that's healing it as well. So it's like you're tearing them down by saying that it's not as good as they thought it was. But you're also giving them tips to make it better so that it can last longer and stuff. So,
yeah. I say, basically, like, I agree with you because that's a lot more feasible. Like, someone will receive that better versus somebody being mean.
Yeah.
And to bring it back to people who, like, doubt influencers or disrespect influencers. And it's honestly, it's gotten pretty old for me.
Yeah.
Seeing online, like, people discrediting influencers all the time, when really it's just jealousy.
Yeah.
It's like, don't be upset because I'm working on something. I have the same 24 hours that you do. I have the same resources that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all have internet.
Mm-hmm.
We all have phones,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And I'm making better use of
it. Yeah, I'm just making better use of my time.
Yeah, because for real, and the thing is, like, in this climate, everybody has an audience. And technically, anybody can influence people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, just because I choose to influence differently than you, doesn't make me any better than you or any worse than you. But it's like, when you go out of your way to be mean, or you go out of your way to, like, tear down, it's like, all right, that's why you are where you are.
Yep.
Like, that's why, you know, because, like I said, like, for me, I don't, you know, like, there are moments where I'm petty, but it's like, I'll never go out of the way to be mean.
Right. You know? It takes too much energy to be mean to someone.
Yeah, and it's like, it doesn't do anything for you. Because it's like, literally, you're being mean, but it's just like, what are you benefiting from it? You know, it's like, what are you gaining from it? You know? And it's like, had I listened to the people that was just like, oh, that's dumb. Oh, you should do this. You should do that. I'd still be in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd still be in the same spot trying to claw to get attention when it's like, I found a lane that works for me that nobody's in, that I could be, you know, like a trendsetter in. And, you know, like, I've worked with more people now than I have when I was doing, like, I still do photography, but just not as heavy, because it's like, you run what works, know what I mean? Like, whatever can, like, what businesses, whatever campaign works, that's what they run with.
That's why I, like, honestly, like, me blogging versus me YouTubing, I've had way more experiences, way more brands have reached out, you know, like, more opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone more places as a blogger, like with naturallycam.com.
Yeah.
Not to mention, it's actually having something that's mine versus having a YouTube channel yeah. that can be wiped away in an instant.
Right.
But it's just like Justin was saying, like you go with what works. And I feel like the problem with people who discredit influencers so much is, like you said earlier, they don't know what works for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're seeing something that works for you, and they want to tear you apart for it because they're unhappy
mm-hmm.
with their position.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of times when people are upset about something, or when people are mad, mm-hmm. and because like people don't like change,
mm-hmm.
so it's like when something changes and something works, it's like instead of like trying to figure out, oh hey, what'd you do? How can I learn from that?
Right.
A lot of times people want to tear it down because it's easier. Like, you know, we live in the age of trolls, so it's like it's easy to be on the sideline, being like, oh hey, oh. That person's doing something different. Let's laugh at this person.
Mm-hmm.
When it's like, all right, you laugh at that person. Next thing you know, that person is doing what they said they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you looking like, oh, man, I should have took them more serious.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, I mean, what I said earlier, it wasn't shade. It was just a thing of, you know, like, my thing was, I've never been afraid to try and fail. You know, like, I've always been one to experiment with things because I feel like that's what life is about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, life is about trial and error. It's about experimenting. It's about, you know, doing something, figuring out it doesn't work. Then it's like, all right, let's do something else. Let's see what works. Let's see what, you know.
Right.
And I feel like that's what I did. Like, I didn't retire as a photographer. I'm just like, people want to see me. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to give them more of me.
Right.
While I can, because, like I said, in 4 months, like, I got a little article out with, you know, with DC Goodwill and stuff. And
you guys should go check it out if you haven't already.
Yeah, it's a blog where it's featuring how, like, blazers transform my wardrobe and save my pockets in the meantime. And, you know, so it's like stuff like that where building relationships with them, I would have never done that had I just been, like, stuck in one lane.
Track mind.
Yeah, and it's like most, because as you, I'm sure you know, Jay-Z's first hip-hop billionaire. And then when, have you seen, like, that breakdown list from, like, how he got his billion?
Mm-mm.
It's from, like, 8 different places.
Wow.
Like, it's not, rap is, like, a small portion. He got, like, 100 mil from Tidal. He got a bunch from, like, art and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So, let me see if I can pull it up. You can go. I'm going to pull it up and see if I can find it.
We say all this to say, put some respect on influencers' names. We actually do a lot more work behind the scenes than you would ever realize. Mm-hmm. And we just want the same respect that 9 to 5s get.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like, I feel like the disrespect comes because people don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, since people don't understand it, it's way easier to discredit it, to just be like, oh, haha, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, you're trying to do blah, blah, blah. When mm-hmm. it's like, most of the time, the innovators of the world and stuff, they usually do things that's different from everybody else. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah. Because it's like, even if you look at Vine, like, where people thought, like, oh, people were dumb for making, like, 6-second videos about stuff like that.
Right.
But it's like, now, when you look on Netflix, you see King Batch everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He was on, like, a Mountain Dew commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the other guy's name, but there's a bunch of people off Vine that are, like, way bigger now than they ever was on Vine.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just like, nobody thought that you would go from making 6-second clips to being in movies all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So now people are thinking like, dang, I wish I would have hopped on the Vine wave.
Right.
Because my life could have been different if I wasn't trashing those Vines.
Mm-hmm.
And actually been a part of those Vines.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, within the next 5 years, influencer marketing is probably going to be the top thing within marketing, because, like, people don't want to see 3-minute long commercials.
Oh yeah. People don't really watch TV anymore.
Yeah, it's like people want to see people that they know and stuff that they like, so that they can go buy more because they want to support that person. So I mean, you know, to quote a great philosopher, "Hoes mad." I don't know who the philosopher is, but it was just a meme that's been out.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like a song. It's like, "Hoes mad, hoes mad, hoes mad."
Oh, hoes, hoes.
What you thought it said?
I thought you were trying to say who's, like.
No.
Like who's with an accent? No. Like hoes.
Heart, like.
Hoes.
Hoes. Yeah. But, for the breakdown of the Jay-Z thing, so it was like 50 mil in real estate, 70 mil art collection, 75 mil for the music catalog, 75 mil for Roc Nation, 100 million for Tidal, 100 mil for Duce, 210 million cash and investments, 310 mil for Armand. I don't know how to pronounce that, but.
Where's the
top
word?
One? The Armand
de Blas. I don't know the second word.
Yeah,
I don't
but speak French. 310 mil off that. So it's like, Tidal can be a bit, because people thought Tidal was going to flop. But 100 mil, like, that seem like a flop. Good. Yeah. So, but yeah, all in all, like, I feel like the people that are, cause I feel like a lot more people respect it because they're aware of how important it is. But those people that are going to disrespect it, it's like, all right, you'll see in a few years when, you know, your favorite product, you got one of those Instagram people on your favorite product. You know, because like Jay Versace was on the Sprite commercial like last year.
Jackie Aina is on Essence's digital cover.
That's what I'm saying. So people can be like,
that's mother, I stamp.
So it's like people can be like, oh, they don't got real jobs, they don't do blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay. Why are you still mad? They still doing what they're doing. So, yeah. You know. I think within this episode, where the main thing we're trying to say is, like, it takes way more energy to be disrespectful or to be rude than it does to actually just support somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't take anything away from you to just support somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like, if you don't want to see it, just unfollow. And that person or that thing is out of your life. Like, you don't got to see it no more. You don't got to touch it, like...
But see, that's too much, like, right, though.
Yeah, because I'm like, if I don't like something, I'll unfollow it. Never got to see it again.
Mm-hmm.
But people are petty, though, so I guess that's what they do.
Always, babe.
All right, but before we go, I did a little roast thing on Facebook, and I said the winner would get a shout-out. So, here we go. So there were four people that won. My sister Antoinette, Smokey, Shane, and Martin Booker. I don't know why I said Booker like that, but Martin Booker. Those four won. Shout out to Evan, Smokey, the Cook Master, the Soul Blaster. He told me to say that. you know, my sister Antoinette. Shane, who looks like SpongeBob, and
don't you start another fight, baby.
Hey, I'm ready. Right. His birthday, I'm prepared. But okay. and Martin, because he just came in way too hot, and I was just like, "What'd I do to you?" Like it was, like I didn't expect 100 people to comment on that. Like it was 103 comments, and I was like, "Where all y'all come from?" Y'all don't comment on nothing else, but the one time.
That's how it usually is.
I'm like, when y'all want to roast, that's when everybody pop up. But
oh yeah,
I know I'm about to post one now. So
I posted a thirst trap the other day, well last week, because I didn't have a current photo to post. So I posted a Throwback Thursday, and it was a thirst trap because I was a little joint once upon a time, and literally.
Oh wait. People may not know what a joint is.
Do you want to explain what a joint is?
You got it. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if I'll explain it well, so.
Well, a joint is like, in comparison, it would be like a like an Instagram baddie type of thing. It's not necessarily along the lines of a thought, but more like IG baddie.
Because I wasn't a thought.
Yeah, it was more IG baddie than anything. But we running. You want to wrap it up? Or?
Yeah. Well, my point with that.
I didn't mean to say it, rude or anything.
Yeah. But, yeah. No. My point with that was that people who don't normally comment on anything were all over that. Like, whoa, hey, school. Can I talk to you? Can I see what's up?
But they all got denied.
You're right.
With the swiftness.
You're right.
But. Alright guys, that'll wrap up another episode.
Of the Recycle Babies.
Yeah. Again, we want to thank you guys for the support. It's episode 3, and I feel like we got a lot of love so far. Be sure to follow the Recycle Babies podcast on Instagram at the Recycle Babies. We have a Facebook page, and we actually have a Facebook community group where you can like get to know people personally and stuff like that. We just made it, so we're trying to get more people into it.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow us at our personal IGs. Cameron is...
at Naturally Cam. That's K-A-M.
And mine is I'm Not Justin Toon. And, yeah, thank you guys so much for the support. And we'll see you guys next week.
We'll see you later.
That's what next week is.
That's later.
All right, whatever. You got it. All right.